The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And basically for me, that's the night that the horror began.
Coming up, as a 14-year-old girl, Giselle Meza was the victim of sexual trafficking.
13 days of complete horror that, you know, I almost really wished I would have died during that time. I thought, if I never get out of here, in my mind I was thinking, how do I call my mom? You know,
her story of survival, next.
Thank you so very much for joining us. I'm Betty and this is James.
Well, we are very actively involved in doing what we believe is on God's heart, but also we're convinced is on your heart, and that's rescuing people from one of the most horrible prisons on this planet, and that's being trapped in the sex trafficking. It's hard to imagine that people would come and take a child literally into bondage and captivity, but it's happened. Giselle Meza is here, and she is a former fashion model. She's basically, so to speak, in so many ways left the comfort of that particular life to go in and relieve people who have been trapped. And we are working with her to build a life center to rescue people that are really the primary targets for the predators. And you're going to be excited about what love does. But you're going to find out something from Giselle that we didn't even know, how she was trafficked, not overseas, but right here. Would you welcome Giselle Meza to life today? Giselle, glad to see you. We're excited about building the Life Center. We know children are going to be rescued. We're excited about what you've done to give the women that have come out of the trade where they've been prisoners and you've got them making beautiful necklaces. You've had them doing other things to learn a craft to make a living. And our viewers are excited about that. As a matter of fact, these necklaces are available. We will send one to those of you who say, let me help rescue one of the children or one of the women. And we're thrilled to be able to work with you. Now, one of the things that we were not aware of, and we've worked with you for quite some time, and now we're actually really doing something you might say is quite a step of faith. And that is to build a life center, literally a home and a place where there's really no end to the ability to express love and to give them a family setting where they can grow. And we're excited about it. But we didn't know that you had actually experienced the pain, the horror, the prison, that you are now motivated with the compassion of the Lord to literally rescue people from. You were actually trapped.
Yeah, yes.
What happened?
Well, I was 14 years old. I'm originally from Costa Rica. I was raised in Costa Rica and I had moved to the United States. And at 14 years old, I was left alone because my mother had to work three different jobs to be able to provide. My older sisters had already grown and gone away, so I was alone at home. She had to leave me alone a lot at night, and I took three buses to get to high school. It was the beginning of my high school, and as I would take the bus every day, a woman started to come around and just gain my trust. She took me for lunch, then she invited me for dinner. And I went and suddenly I thought, wow, this is such a nice lady. She really cares about me. She's like that older sister that I didn't have around. Then the summertime came around and she said, you know, I have a place in New York City. And she said, why don't you come to New York with me? And there, you know, I don't have anybody. I don't have family there. Come with me. And so I thought, okay. In my heart, I thought, you know, nobody really cares about me anyway. Who's gonna miss me? Nobody, maybe I'm gonna make a life for myself somehow. So I went with her to New York. After a few days of being there, she took me to get identification, and that's where things started to change a little bit. She had went and she got me a fake ID, so I thought, this maybe it's just because I'm thinking in my child mind, maybe this is because she needs to take me to restaurants and maybe I can, she needs something to get me in or... And so that continued, and then she said to me after a few days, you know, I have a place in London. Why don't you come with me to London? I went with her to London. She took me to my room. This is your room. And the room was, you know, cozy, things I had never had or seen. And I thought, oh, I'm in a dream. I get to stay here with this woman that cares for me. She's going to show me around. And so I stayed in this room. And then she said, just rest. So I went to sleep and I woke up with such jet lag and really thirsty. So I wanted to get some water and I woke up out of my room and I walked down the hall to go into the kitchen. And when I looked in the kitchen, it was full of Middle Eastern men. And they were all sitting on the floor eating, having a party, you know, eating, smoking, drinking. There was music and everything. And I looked and I thought, where am I? And where is, you know, the woman that brought me here? That, where am I? And so I looked in there and all I wanted was some water. And then I quickly got out. I walked down the hallway and every room that I started to look in was like an orgy going on. Basically, it was things I had never seen, and I looked in one room, and it was this giant salon full of men smoking and drinking. There were naked women running all over the place. They were playing tambourines. Every corner that I looked in was a different scenario going on, and I thought to myself, now what do I do? I walked back down the hallway. I got into my room. And I stayed there, and I just went to sleep. And the next morning, I saw her, and she said, oh, it was just a party that was going on, everything. But when I woke up, everything was clean, and there was nobody there. And so she gave me something to wear. She said, here, you need to wear this tonight. And then I said, okay, well, you know, where are we going? When are we gonna go home? She said, no, we need to stay here for some more time and I need to take you with me to this restaurant. You need to dress nice. So I put on what she gave me and we went, and it was a very exclusive club. And I got there and once again, the place was full of Middle Eastern men and it was tables of them. And so, then I found myself basically having to go sit with these men. And at that night then, I realized she was calling me out because these were men that were waiting for me. So she had brought me there as a 14-year-old virgin that basically she sold to all these men. So all I could do was do what she was forcing me to do. There was no way for me to escape or get out of there. And basically for me, that's the night that the horror began. And there was no way for me to escape there. There was no way for me to get out. There was nobody hearing me. Nobody knew I was even there. And I'm stuck in this room with man after man after man after man. And these are adult, grown men that, you know, anywhere from their 20s to their 60s. Mm. So they knew very well what they were doing, and it was very organized. So I was trapped there, and I would say that was 13 days of complete horror that, you know, I almost really wished I would have died during that time. I thought, if I never get out of here, in my mind, I was thinking, how do I call my mom? You know, how can I get out of here? How can I reach my mom? And to think, I thought as a child, somehow, something great was gonna come out of this. somehow I was going to help my mom. Somehow I was going to become a princess or something. In my mind, I'm thinking all sorts of fantasy things to be able to help because I was in such a bad situation as a child, and my mom was struggling so hard. And I remember sitting in the bathtub just thinking, who's going to help me? Nobody's going to pull me out of here. And that just continued and continued and continued for about 13 days straight. And then the same woman took me to one club one night, and there was a man that said to me, okay, so he called me over to his table, and I'll never forget his motioning of, I almost knew that was the end of me somehow. And he motioned me to come over, and I sat next to him, and he said, okay, so tomorrow morning I'll have my driver pick you up, and then I'll take you to my country, and we're leaving. And I didn't have a choice. I didn't have a choice to say. I had no voice. I couldn't say to him, no, I don't want to go. I want to go to my mom. Call my mother.
Did your mom even know what had happened to you?
No.
I mean, you just disappeared?
I just disappeared. She didn't know where I was. And so I had told her I was going with some friends away. And so in this setting at this club where this man said, you're going to go with me, and I thought, no, I don't want to go. I want to go home, you know? And I realized that the woman that had trafficked me, that had sold me to all these men, became very aggravated that was the man that decided that wanted to take me. So there's something going on. She got very preoccupied with it and sat next to him and started drinking and talking to this man. And at that time, I started to step away from the table. And by this time, nobody had given me any food, nothing to drink, nothing to eat. She didn't care about me anymore. She didn't love me like I thought she was. She wasn't even giving me water. And here I was being forced to service these adult men completely against my will, not even knowing what was going on. And so I stepped away and I went to the bathroom. When I came back, I heard a voice that said, get out now, go. And so I thought, how am I going to get out of here? And they were all preoccupied drinking and everything. So I walked downstairs, and there was a driver, and I said, I left and nobody saw me. And I said, I need to go back to the flat. And the man actually took me. He took me back. I ran upstairs. They had maids in there that were cleaning, and I grabbed my backpack and I ran to the airport. And he took me to the airport, and I had no way to get home, so I called Collect, my friends in Oregon, and they asked their mother to get me a ticket to go back home. And I was able to get back.
Basically, you escaped.
Escaping. And to this day, I think, had I not heard the voice that said, get out now, and if that man didn't drive mm-hmm. me, which I don't know why he took me to the airport, if he hadn't taken me, I would have never escaped. I would have never gotten away. I would have been trapped. I would have been lost forever into a different country.
You would have been trapped in the very situation that you're trying to help girls get mm-hmm. free from. And
yes.
you're helping children and girls who are even in greater poverty. They have greater distress than you had. They're more vulnerable.
Yes.
And it's real easy not only to make the children or the girls think there's something better, but even their families oftentimes are misled. And so you have, and this is the thing that's so incredible right now, Giselle, who experienced this pain. Now, you know, most of you who watch Life Today and you listen to me, you know that I didn't have a father. I grew up very poor, and obviously out of that pain and that loss, I care about the fatherless. I care about people who have fathers and families. get to know the Father, the ultimate Father, because I know that's what we all need. Every father needs that. Every child needs it. And the poor, the downtrodden all over the world, because I identify and I know we can move beyond that. There's hope. Well, Giselle was trapped. So she understands the pain and she understands the effective manipulation that takes place and how vulnerable the children are. So Giselle, you have gone to the mission field and you've gone to one of the beautiful settings in the sense that the beautiful mountains and Everest is there is a great beauty. And yet the sorrow and the poverty makes these children so vulnerable and women so vulnerable that they're easily taken captive and then taken into the sex trafficking in India, in the areas where they have plenty of opportunity to be sold. And you are committed to rescuing them. And I know right now, because of our communication and our mission team being with you on the field, you're more excited than you've ever been, because now you have a place to help the very children that are headed for what you experienced and women that are already in it. And you believe this is an answer to your prayers on behalf of the desperate in Nepal.
Yes, amen. I was able to get away and to be able to be part of helping to rescue them, of providing hope for them, of intervening from traffickers, taking these children and these women that will be lost forever and never found again, is so joyful to be able to be part of this. I could never do it. Our teams could never do this if it wasn't for your help, if it wasn't for the help of the viewers and Life Today partnering with us, we wouldn't be able to be out there doing the job that we're doing. And right now, at the border between Nepal and India, we're able to stop between 3 to 7 little children from being trafficked every week. We are able to go up.
Did you hear that? Rescue 3 to 7 every week with what they have now. And of course, when you get the center, you've got an immediate place to take them where they're not just trying to make do, but they've got a place that's like a haven of security. And then that's going to expand your ability, isn't it? Especially when people see what's happening, it's like when Jesus is lifted up, he draws people. That's precisely what you're going to see.
Yes, it's incredible that we've been able to, with your support, go out and rescue these children. But now we don't have anywhere to put them. So we've been taking these children and we've been putting them in volunteers' homes, in pastors' homes. We've got right now 15 little children that we know that once we're able to get this rescue center and this life center that we've been praying about, that we can only do with your help and your support, we'll be able to move those children into these homes and they'll have a new life. And they'll be safe. You know, I know those children have no help. They have no way out. They have no way to have a new life. But because of your help, we're now able to provide a home for them so they can now be safe. I was rescued by Jesus, you know. I was able to go back home.
But there were still some people involved. There were some people involved, even though they may not have known it. Our viewers can know it. They see what's happening. So they know they're an agent of help and rescue. But you still had to have help. And now we're offering help that's very real. It's what our viewers do. Would you here say thanks to Giselle and to God for the Lord enabling her to do? And I really, Giselle, in behalf of the children and the women that you're actually now, after they get out and get free, you're giving them jobs. And these precious children, see, they are the targets of the predators. Mm-hmm. I want you to just go with us to Nepal and with our mission team and just listen to the heart of the mission workers and Giselle as they're reaching out. Watch this.
The traffickers are around here and goes through this kind of precious girls, you know, houses, and they are being trafficked every day for a little amount, and they are tricked out of the village and sold into the brothels overnight.
These are three sisters, and they are an example of what happens up here in these mountain regions. Their mother had passed away. They were alone. An uncle took them in. So a trafficker came through, offered some money, posing as a businessman, to take these little girls into India and to give them a job as maids over there. And the uncle needed this money, and so he was just about to sell these little girls. And right in time, there was a volunteer from the prevention program that approached the uncle, and they came to watch this movie.
We go around the schools here. We take our movie there also, and many children that are at risk come to our prevention movie and see it and be aware of what's going on. And kids like these have been prevented through the movie. The movie is about the girl at age of 13 years old, how she gets tricked by the trafficker, promised a better future, and takes her across the border and sells in a few hundred dollars to the brothel, and the guy walks away.
This has helped to save these little girls, but now we've taken these beautiful, precious little girls in, but we have no space to keep them. And we're in tremendous need of being able to provide a life center so that we can help these little girls to thrive and to be safe.
Oh, you're just seeing clear images there of just evil personified, that you would take those beautiful little girls, precious little innocent ones, and use them to gratify the most selfish, despicable appetites imposed on vulnerable children. And then to see the wisdom of the mission workers and Giselle and the others, that they would show the children how vulnerable they are with this film, to just show what's actually happened and what can happen, and then to realize that we can give them a future and a hope. That's why we're calling it Rescue Life. You know, we work in Thailand, we work in Cambodia, we work in some areas where we don't say the name where we're working because it jeopardizes the mission workers. But we're also asking you to help us there in India, but with the Life Center in Nepal, and we can build that because the children are taken out of the poverty there and then taken into India and used as sex slaves. So what we're asking you to do, and Betty, I'm believing everyone watching is going to help today. Here's what I want you to understand. $128 will rescue someone from the trafficking, and it's going to be doubled because someone with a broken heart and compassion and the ability says, I'll match your gift. And then we're asking you to help build this center, the Life Center there in Nepal. It's so important we do this. I mean, they need a place. They need a home. They need a Life Center. And not only the ones that stay there, but so many that will come through there. So many that will be exposed, for instance, to the message of the film. We're asking you right now, please. I don't really think that I need to plead with you to do it. I think your heart leaps at the opportunity, knowing that whatever you do will be doubled. Would you go to the phone right now? Would you take your bank card, use it like a check? If you write a check, make it to Life. But real important, you call us and tell us what's coming so we can. I would love to be able to report to the mission workers there, look, add another wing. We got that kind of response. And yes, we'll do that. We get money to drill more wells, we'll drill more than the goal. But you're the ones that determine that. So each child you can help us rescue, each gift you make, we're asking for $1,000 gifts or more to help build that Life Center, and for as many $128 gifts as we can get. And Betty, I'm believing everyone's going to help.
Thank you, James. I noticed as we were watching, I heard a little giggle from one of the girls. And I thought, how sweet, how precious. That's what it's supposed to be like. Joy, safety, and security. That's what we need the Life Center for. A place where they can lay their heads and not be afraid at night or in the morning when they wake up that someone is going to take them away. Please help us do this.
One of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is joy. And Paul said, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Jesus said, of such is the kingdom of heaven, little children. Would you enable them to be little children? And like Betty said, to smile, Father, I pray everyone watching would go to the phone or go online and say, here's my gift. to rescue a precious life. We've got gifts to bless you, to say thank you for giving life, rescuing lives.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And we can also build the New Hope Life Center in Nepal, which will be a safe house for children for years to come. And now, a miracle opportunity of a $384,000 matching gift. With a cost of $128 to rescue a child, that means your gift of $128 will be matched to help rescue two children, and $64 will be matched to help rescue one more child. With your gift, please request Indivisible by James Robison and Jay Richards, a soul-stirring read for every Christian who desires to restore America to the values that formed our strong foundation, built on faith, family, and freedom. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you will receive a unique and beautiful necklace, handcrafted by women who were survivors of human trafficking and slavery. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000, which will be matched to $2,000 for the New Hope Life Center. And you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, you help us rescue one of these precious children and these women. They are making these beautiful necklaces. I do want to remind you, and this, I think, is really an answer to your prayers for your country and for us to be able in the free world to continue to bless others. Get the message, Indivisible. We send it, say thanks, in the Lion and the Lamb bronze to say thank you for building the Life Center. Would you join Betty and me to say thanks to Giselle for being such a blessing? God bless the Life Center. God bless all of you. There is Giselle's website. If you want to know how to communicate with her ministry, it may be that you could go there sometime and help minister to these children. That would be wonderful.
Join us next week as James and Betty share their desire to see one nation truly under God. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.